If you've just tuned in, my name is Foster Brown. I'm the producer and co-host of the program, along with Gary Baker, who's here, Mr. Ed Rudell, and Shane Hamlin are in studio. Mm-hmm. A lot of years of practical experience dealing with the digital world. And
That means we made a lot of mistakes, is that
right,
it?
Yes.
Hopefully. So now we know how to get out of the problems
that
we made.
A nice thing about it, by the way, Ed, you work at GM and have been working for many years helping executives there with their computers.
Yes.
And with network systems. And Shane, you also have done that kind of thing, but you are now also working with CompTech Services, your shop.
With the public, yep.
With the public in Sterling Heights. So I'm guessing that there are people out there who are listening right now who may not have run into our open line. And this is a unique opportunity for you. Our phone lines are open. It's 800, toll-free, 800-859-0957. And I'm interested to see which call we get first. Toledo seems to be a source of great questions for us. So if somebody south of the border wants to call in, just get on the phone right now and give us a call at 800-859-0957. We're going to start lining up calls. But I realize that some of you may not know that this kind of thing exists. And it's a unique opportunity for you to get some help with that problem that you've been facing all along. And often we've had people, email us afterwards to say, "My, it worked. What you suggested worked."
Yeah, it worked.
And it didn't cost me anything.
Yeah,
the best part.
Yeah, but we also get the occasional, "What were you guys thinking?"
That's true.
Not too frequently, though. We
like the easy questions because we know how to answer those.
You know, I purchased a new printer for home. I went LaserJet, then I went LaserJet Color, and I think I'm throwing in the towel because the toners are so expensive.
Oh yeah.
They start out cheap, and then they raise the prices. And then I did the refills and the toners, and that's a mess. I'm going back to my good old-fashioned HP, desk jet printer, because every time I replace the cartridges, I get a new head. Because I tried to go with Canon with my son when they went to school. No, Epson. I went to the Epsons.
Epson, right.
And all she replaces is the reservoir. Right?
Ah.
The ink reservoir. What happens when a college student goes to school and then comes out of college? The printer sits there for the entire summer while they're having fun, and then they go back to school, right?
Yeah.
And what happens? Their inkjets, heads are gunked up, and I could not get those things.
That's very interesting.
So I bought them an HP. I bought myself an HP at home, and I made sure that my HP printer that I purchased had took the same cartridges as his, so that, if I had extras, I can give them to him and vice versa.
You know what I like on at least my HP is I can print from my phone or from my iPad, and that's really nice.
I have an old wireless HP. Now, I use the laser printer, by the way. I love that.
I almost went Brothers, but I'm like, Shane, what do you think about your printers? I mean, what do you usually recommend
for
users?
In that price, I don't know
they're
what your
so
price
inexpensive,
range were, but,
yeah.
The $90, $100 price range, whether it be Canon, Brother, Epson, you're going to get about the same amount, same printer.
But the point that Ed made is with the HPs, you're replacing the entire head, not just the reservoir.
Correct.
Right, and you won't get that. The head won't gum up over the summertime. That's the point I wanted.
Yeah,
to make
for every instance that you have, a printer is going to meet match your needs for what you need.
Mm-hmm.
I've used HPs, I've used Canons, Epsons.
Oh, I thought it was a great idea. I just didn't think about the heads.
Yeah.
And then
if I was
to use an Epson at home, the ink would be running continuously at least once a week, and I wouldn't have had a problem.
We've got a caller. Doug is calling us from Ohio, and by the way, if you'd like to get on the line with us, 800-859-0957. Hi, Doug. Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, thank you.
What can we do for you?
I have a question for you. In a lot of these coffee places and restaurants that have Wi-Fi, some of them are particularly around the busy hours, they track you. I don't know how they track you, and they say if you've been on too long, they kick you off.
Well, go ahead and comment, guys.
Well, they know from your IP address
right.
Who's on and who's not. And when it's busy, they want other people to be able to get on as well. So that's why they do that. And not everybody does, but some companies do, and for, I think, good reason. But they don't know who you are. They won't know until you stand up and get mad who it was that they turned off in the store.
My real question, actually it's been kind of inconvenient because I go into lunch hour and I'm meeting with people and we're on the internet and all of a sudden we get kicked off and then we get back on and then we get kicked off again.
Mm.
And,
are you receiving a message when this happens?
No.
Okay, because a lot of times that can happen very simply because of just electromagnetic interference. You have more people in there. You have people
That's
with
true.
Bluetooth headsets, Bluetooth phones, other wireless devices will step all over each other.
Especially
so,
lunch
and you're
crowd.
Saying this may not be intentional
it may not be,
by
it may
them.
Not be them.
Yeah.
You know, Bluetooth doesn't listen to just standard Wi-Fi, you know, like the 802.11 standards. Mm-hmm. They're going to step all over that.
And my
that
assumption
protocol.
Was that they did send a message, because that's what I know a lot of companies do, that do take and say, you know, we do this for the majority of our guests, and if you're on X number of minutes during certain times, during other times, they don't care.
But you right? should get a message at that point.
But you
saying.
Get a message ahead
and,
of time.
And you're saying...
shut down, and that's right. what I've
don't
seen.
Don't get a message, but they have that policy because they called their provider,
yeah.
uh-huh. and they the provider said that the company itself had requested that.
Who was their provider, Doug?
Who was the provider?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I couldn't tell you okay. offhand. It's Panera's.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Panera.
Yeah. So
I got you.
Okay. It's a relatively easy thing to do to put a timer on a session within the wireless routers. So that's really not a big deal. And I could see that. I mean, if I was offering a service, I may want to limit my customers to 30 minutes, too.
Hey, Doug, you know what we're going to do? When we come back, there's something I'm thinking of that might be a solution for you. I'm going to say goodbye to you right now and listen on
that's
the air.
That's what I was kind of looking for.
That's okay. I think I have a solution for you.
Or you can hang on. Could he hang on?
No, we got somebody else calling in right now, and I want to make sure we get room for a lot of people in here. 800-859-0957. Back to talk with you. Eureka, they used to say when they discovered things. Well, you may have just discovered the answer to your computer problem. And it's toll-free. Call us at 800-859-0957. We got some answers for Doug in Ohio in just a moment. But before we get to that, Shane
yes.
Hamlin, who's here
yes.
right now, is going to be participating next Saturday in a very cold event.
I'm starting to get a little worried as it gets closer to that point. February 14th, downtown Detroit, they're doing the special polar plunge for Special Olympics in Michigan. And I have joined a team and have been raising money. And you can get that information if you go to Internet Advisor.
InternetAdvisor.net, right? That's our
homepage.
Scroll
down a little bit. You'll see the little polar plunge logo. Just click on it if you feel free to. You want to donate to the cause. I'm going to be jumping in.
And the money goes to help Special Olympics.
Special Olympics, correct.
Yeah, it's a great cause.
A great cause, and it's put on by Michigan law enforcement.
You know, so now when you get out, do you have any special way to get back warm again?
Well, they have warming stations.
Oh, they do.
In tents.
Okay.
And they have divers in the water to make sure you come back up.
They have two wet dry suit divers from the Coast Guard, or I believe the State Police, or somebody right. will be there in the water with you.
I lived on a lake when I was a kid, and we didn't do it for a cause. We just did it because it was something to do.
Dared each other.
It was something to do. We would drag a rowboat out onto the ice,
yeah.
and then we would take a 55-gallon drum, fill it with water, build a fire on the ice, and when it got hot enough, we would take and dump the water into, you know, just kick it over, and it would fill up the rowboat,
yeah.
and we'd jump in there afterwards. So.
So it's going to be...
Gary Baker, you're lucky you made it this far.
I was just going to say, you don't have that kind of luxury.
And they're
eh?
A little it's a little different than running from shore into the water, because you gradually get up there.
Yeah.
This is like they pulled big chunks of ice right
yeah, this
out.
Is, and then you stand on the ice chunks and dive in, right?
You go right from the pier. There's a marina right there by the Renaissance Center.
Oh, wow.
And you're going to go right off the pier, the marina. Right into the water.
And I was there yesterday at the Renson, because I'm in Warren now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, the river's frozen over.
Yeah,
yeah, you gotta chop a hole.
Well, Shane, yeah. we want to hear all the details, but it's going to take place next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
It's a great event. You can help raise money for Special Olympics. Go to our site, internetadvisor.net, and scroll down to the polar plunge and Shane's smiling face. Now, guys, we have some quick suggestions for Doug from Ohio. He wanted to know, he was going to, in this case it happened to be at Panera, he was on and suddenly he got kicked off, no message appeared, so he's saying, well, how can I get around that? Some suggestions then.
Well, how can he get around it? Well, obviously the place that he's at has instituted this policy. This is their policy. And how can he do it? You can get a MiFi device, and Gary, you suggested just using what?
Just his cell phone, right?
Yeah,
because
smartphone.
It just use your smartphone, just tether it. And it's free. You don't have to pay anything.
Create a
else.
Hotspot.
For the hotspot, and you do pay for the data, but with rollover data today, and it's very cheap
so
to do that on occasion.
What we're suggesting, Doug, is this. with most of your smartphones now, you can create a hotspot. That means it becomes a modem, and then you can run your device off of that.
Right.
And with the data right now being what's happened with Sprint and Sprint and T-Mobile challenging by giving away data, it's made the big boys give it away as well. So it's less of a concern than it used to be.
Right. And something else that when they knock you off, when you come back on, you log back in. While that's inconvenient, you log back in with a different IP address. They don't know it's the same person.
Right. But you can go ahead.
No. I was just gonna
unless
say,
they put a cookie on the site.
For correct. And they're going to check the MAC address as well.
And they could.
Yeah. Yep. But what I've noticed is the phone companies are kind of going through this. Passing the buck, they're really enforcing. Hey, when you're at home, jump on your cable provider's Wi-Fi.
Yes,
get off of our bandwidth, and you can make calls now. Did you know that? So they're really kind of getting you on their bandwidth and freeing up their bandwidth.
One of the other things that's happened with Comcast, for instance, is if you're a Comcast customer, Xfinity shows up now as a hotspot,
right.
And they are strong hotspots,
yeah. And they're everywhere. We have it at our location.
Exactly. Ed, one more thing, final.
No, I was going to say that, your Xfinity, but the other thing they're pushing onto the internet service providers is if you call Sprint, Verizon, AT&T, and you have poor cell phone coverage in your area, I think Sprint's the only one that'll give you a free Sprint tower that you can put in your house. So you can not only get great signal in your house,
wow,
if you're in a dead spot, right?
Yeah.
But you can also help your neighbors out.
Right.
But I think Verizon and AT&T charge you for that. So again, here is the cell phone providers. They're pushing it on the internet service providers to solve their problem.
I love it. Let them battle.
And no wonder why the internet service providers are like, you know, we want a throttle, man. I can understand some of their
points. I want to get back to our next caller, but you had something else, Shane?
I was just saying, don't plan to have any goldfish in the house with that dinner, right?
Oh, yeah. God.
Boiled fish.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Ken in St. Clair. Ken, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi, thank you. What I'm calling for is I heard you guys talking about printers.
Yeah.
And my printer, I have a Brothers, and it, like you said, it was about $100. But to copy something, it will copy, but I can't let it. It won't print from the internet to the printer.
Okay, so you know, I'm not familiar with Brothers. Are you familiar with the Brothers? Because usually the printers, when you set them up with the CD, they go through a registration process so that you can register your individual printer with the Brothers website so that it has the ability to receive email addresses, which are in the form of the print capability. Mm-hmm. So did this function ever work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it did work. It's not, and then all of a sudden, like I said, it's weird. I don't know.
So is this, are you having trouble connecting wirelessly to it, or is this through the internet?
It's strictly through the internet.
Okay, so wirelessly you can connect.
I don't even try it that way.
Well, I mean, when you're at home, are you able to print to it as a normal printer, either connected or wirelessly through your wireless network at home?
No.
Oh, you're not. So
no.
We made the assumption that when you said print through the internet, a lot of printers that ship nowadays, I can be in Timbuktu and print to my home printer.
Right.
Through
right.
the internet.
Through the internet.
But you're talking about printing wirelessly.
No, I'm talking, it's hard, wired hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's wired hard.
And it won't print, when I want to print something off the internet to the printer, it will not do that.
Yeah, I mean, has it ever been connected wirelessly?
No.
Okay.
Okay, did your internet service provider recently replace your cable modem at home?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. You might want to ask if you have a significant other or a wife, you may want to ask them. They may have, you know, come over and replaced it and didn't tell you. Have you tried the manufacturer's installation CDs again to see if you can get it to work?
Go back to default
settings.
No, I
did not try that, no.
You might want to try default settings and go back to that. There might be something that, you know, a toggle switch that kind of just changed.
Well, okay. The other thing I find, too, is if I'm having trouble with a printer, and I've had this happen any number of times, especially with a network, just uninstall it and start over again.
Right.
Because then what you're telling the computer to do is, all right, let's go back to ground zero. Let's see if we can find this thing wirelessly, for instance.
Well, sometimes it drops the wireless connection,
mm-hmm.
and then when it reestablishes with a different IP address.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 0.01, it might be 0.02 the next time. So what you do is you go to the printer or the admin screen for the printer and just find out what the URL is. So sometimes if that's a problem with a wireless printer, not his problem right now.
I did have trouble with a wireless connection to a Brother printer before. And so I would just suggest just kind of uninstall it, go into your control panel. What kind of operating system are you using? Windows 7?
Yeah.
Right. Just go to the control panel, go to printers, and then uninstall that device. And then, I mean, if you want to be really fancy about it, you just can then reboot your machine so it's completely clean.
Yeah.
And when you come back then, say, add a printer.
Well,
and
no. Use the manufacturer's installation media.
Oh,
as if he's
good.
Just
good.
Unboxed
yeah.
it would yep. be the best
That's
thing.
Good idea. Good idea.
But even before that, maybe just default settings.
Yes.
Change you back to the
yes.
default settings. Because that's all you're trying to do, Foster, when you uninstall it and reinstall it, is get back to the default
exactly.
settings.
Exactly. I have found sometimes, though, that things are so messed up inside, that's my technical way of saying it.
I'll tell you, Ken, don't feel so bad, because my wife calls me every single day from her office. She is the worst with printers. She cannot figure them out. And they're
my wife, Ginny, has had the same problem. And again, uninstalling and reinstalling with Windows 8.1 has been working.
And so, email us and let us know.
Email us.
All right.
And let us know about that. Our number here, it's toll-free. It's 800-859-0957. Again, 800-859-0957. We'll get to your question next. Chuck and Philip, you're up. I want to take a moment to thank the guys behind the glass who are helping us this hour. Eric Dorsch has been answering our phones this evening. Thank you very much for that. And then we also have Mike Stetz, who's in now, behind the machines, spinning the dials and moving the levers. Thank you guys for working with us and helping us to bring this program to you. Delighted to be here for this hour number three. We're answering questions. We've got Chuck from Ohio, and Philip will be on with us shortly in just a moment. But Gary, you've got something to tell people about as well.
Well, we just have a link on our website to the Michigan Governor's Economic Summit and then the Governor's Education Summit. So these are two summits that he's done for the last number of years now since he's been governor, and it's really a tribute. We're really thanking him because of his knowledge of both subjects and the ability to use technology to help solve some problems. So they've been very good in the past. I have no reason to believe they won't be another super conference in the future. But if you're interested in Michigan economic development and Michigan education,
two great conferences.
Hope the governor, go to our site.
Hope the governor gets well. By the way, you can click on that site. It'll take you to another site to tell you more about that. Hope the governor gets well. He had a blood clot in his leg. He's been
That's
in the
right.
hospital a couple of days.
Yeah, it's supposedly not very serious, but he needs to get that cleared
that.
Up and before he can get back on his crutches again.
You know, I wonder if he wasn't the governor, if they would have kicked him out after 8 hours like every other hospital would,
he probably would
for
like
recovery
that.
At home.
Yeah, he probably would.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he likes being, hobbled in any way. So.
All right. Our toll-free number, again, 800-859-0957. Let's go to Chuck from Ohio. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how can we help you?
Yeah, hey, I got a NetGear Wi-Fi router. One night the power went out. I do have a power strip hooked up to it, that in my process was hooked up to a power strip, but I guess it knocked it off. And ever since then, I can't get the Wi-Fi to come back up again. And, you know, when you click on your Wi-Fi connections on your desktop there, it doesn't recognize the Netgear router. I just get public network. I mean, I have internet, but it's called public network access.
And not your modem. Right? Okay, Shane?
Yeah, you're not seeing your Netgear listed at all, correct?
No, I'm not. Whose
public network is that you're seeing?
I don't know. I'm trying to find out. I can't. How do you find that out?
So who's cable modem provider?
Yeah, it's Time Warner. They're bringing in our TV and our internet.
Okay. So
they come in from a black box, like a mixer box.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Got the telephone. Got the telephone in it too.
Have you rebooted that box?
Yeah, I tried about the Time Warner box itself.
Yes.
I can't know if I did that or not. I mean, like unplug it and everything. And
that's right.
I think
because I have it plugged into the power strip. I powered down the power strip. Mm-hmm. You know. That's
okay.
The same thing, right?
But one of the things you have to watch out for is some of these new routers that they bring in that have all the devices almost will have a battery on them. So you have to, there's a reset button on them that you have to hit.
That's right.
Because just unplugging them won't do any good because the battery kicks in and you don't really get it. Beg pardon?
The fall button, I did that one night. Mm-hmm. You know, you stick a little needle in and hit
yeah.
the fall button, whatever.
Now, did you do that? Hang on, Chuck. Did you do that on the Time Warner box?
No, I didn't do it on the Time Warner box, just the Netgear router itself.
Yeah, so you need to do it on the Time Warner modem.
Yeah. Because very often they get a battery. Is that what you're going to say, Ed? As a possible, or Shane?
I'm going to tell you exactly. If it's not showing up, if you already pinned the Netgear router itself, and it's still not showing up.
When you get on your desktop, you can click on that one icon that shows you what kind of access you have to Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah, you would see the generic listing for that Netgear. It'll say Netgear, blah blah blah.
Even if it wasn't
connected to anything, just plugged into the wall, you're still going to see that signal. So don't worry about your Time Warner.
Okay.
It's your. It could have been knocked out by a power surge. I mean, how old is that power strip, Chuck?
Power strip. It's probably 10 years or more old.
Yeah, you need a new power strip because after about two to three years, those power strips are pretty useless. They don't protect you anymore.
Oh.
They're like flypaper. Every time they take a hit, they get damaged a little bit, and after a while, it goes right through it.
Yeah, maybe I should get another one. Yeah.
I love that description, like flypaper.
Yeah, after a while, flypaper quits working, right?
Too many
flies, right?
Yeah. And it depends also how old your wireless router is. It might be due for an upgrade for $40 to $80. You can get yourself a wireless router that would just, knock the socks off your previous gen.
I
downloaded the troubleshooting software for the Netgear. I downloaded that on my PC, and I went through the troubleshooting with that.
Yeah.
I did it a couple of times. It still says the router disabled.
All right.
Chuck, don't worry about it. I've gone through this a lot. Those routers die. They do. The radial antenna inside of them go out. Your best bet is, even check with Time Warner. They may have a newer modem for you that has the built-in wireless for you, and you won't have to buy one.
Right.
That's possible.
So.
Now, I know when I downloaded the troubleshooter software, it also said it was due for an upgrade.
Firmware upgrade.
A firmware upgrade as well. Chuck, how old is the Netgear router that you have?
That's about 2 years old now, maybe.
Yeah, so here's our suggestions in a row. One would be to change your power strip, because it looks like it's taken a lot of hits, and that then will protect what's behind it. And then the other thing is, it sounds like the Netgear router itself needs to be replaced. And again, Gary was saying for somewhere between $60 and $80, you can get. I got an Asus, that is doing wonderfully for me.
An AC.
Pardon me?
It's 802.11ac.
Yeah, it goes up to N and then the AC as well. So you can get a lot of guts in a router. Don't spend more than 100, I would say, on it, because you're getting more bells and whistles than you really need.
What do you guys recommend? Recommend what brand model on the Wi-Fi router?
Netgear is good. Asus is good. I also like Cisco, Linksys.
Those are
the best, in my opinion.
Really?
That's what I use.
Yeah.
For a consumer product, I thought, this is my personal opinion, that once Cisco bought Linksys, they really took the consumer out of it. I used to be able to do so much more flexibility and configuration on my Linksys, and now it's just like...
But it just, it's built like Cisco. It works.
Okay.
I'm wondering... When I say that public access network, because we have internet connection, but we're not going through the router. I wonder what connection is that coming through Time Warner? Their connection, straight or
what you're seeing? All right, Chuck, hang on. What you're seeing when you see the access, when you look at Wi-Fi, it'll show you all the different kind of Wi-Fi signals that are out there, and their signal strength, etc. If they're not secured, you could actually jump on any one of those.
But that's probably not yours.
Yeah, but it's not yours, and you are taking advantage. You're taking advantage of somebody else's. If, for instance, in this area you're part of Comcast, you can get onto the Xfinity ones. So, Chuck, thank you very much for giving us a call. I hope we've helped you with some suggestions there that you can try out on your own. A lot of different variables.
So I'm curious. Do you guys look at dual bandwidth? Spectrums,
I think a lot of them that ship now are pretty much like that.
With my Asus, I can either do the
2.4
and 5.4.
That's right.
Yeah, 2.8 and 5.4. I've had problems with it in my house, just because some devices work with the 5, some don't work with the 2.
That's why they have the two different, two different.
The nice thing, by the way, about some of the newer routers. And you're not paying a whole lot more for it as if you have a guest connection.
Yeah. Yes, and you're right. The Linksys I have, which is by Cisco, and it is a great product, allows me to do exactly what you describe. It sets up the two different bands, and I have a guest, and I can even say, my guest, I'm only going to give them 2 meg.
Right.
Everyone else in the family that, like, you know, I'll give you 10. I'll give you 100 megabit. Yeah.
So you can, in other words, folks, as you're listening here, with modems nowadays, when you buy them, here's some of the advantages. You have the ability of setting up a guest. So if somebody comes into your house, can I use your router? Yes, of course. It's the guest. It says, whatever it is, guest.
And you can give them their own secret password,
right,
if you want, so that you're not giving them your family password for
the
wireless
security. They could even accidentally get in and do some damage to your system. And then the other thing is, you also have the ability of using these different bands. Because at certain times of day, certain bands work better than others.
Right.
And what was the thing? The phones.
And it'll automatically move back and forth.
Yeah, the phones are on what bands normally?
I was going to say I like the Eagles as a band. And then usually the Beatles at night. But
Almond Brothers.
Brothers are good.
I tell you, I had an old Motorola flip phone.
Oh, my.
For years. And the internet would go down. I'd call Comcast or whatever. Darn internet's down. As soon as they said, well, sir, it's showing you're up. As soon as I said, oh, you're crazy. I'm going to hang up the phone. It started working again. I'm like, what the heck? It was my phone. That darn Motorola phone was interfering with that modem single time.
Yep. Yep. And because it's using the same radio spectrum, the public domain, 2.4 gigahertz to 5.0, whatever, they all use the same radio spectrum. And Wi-Fi devices and phone devices and Bluetooth devices, they step over each other all the time. And that's what we were talking about that earlier in the show. They don't listen
for
Clear Channel.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break quickly right now and come back for Philip in Detroit, Jim in Ohio, and another call waiting for us at 800-859-0900. 57, the Internet Advisor on the air for you. I'd like to thank my merry band of tech experts who have been in here. Gary Baker, my co-host, Eddie Rudell, and Shane Hamlin, who are here. If, by the way, you would like to listen to a portion of this program again, on Sunday night I post the podcast. What that means is it's a recording of our entire 3 hours. It's broken down by segments, so you don't have to dig through the whole thing. You can listen to a certain segment, like the answers to the questions right now. And if you don't get the chance to ask your question on the air here, you can simply go to the Contact Us button on our home page, which is internetadvisor.net. And you'll find all sorts of resources there.
Hey, Foster, I would like to make the suggestion that the podcast should contain our commercial break conversations. If there was a way to include that, what a bonus package that would be.
I don't know. In some cases, you don't want to know what goes on behind the scenes. I will have to work on that. See if we can get a drone in here to be kind of, you know,
although
operated.
We've had some really good conversations.
We have. Yeah. We have had some
today,
very good.
Today, certainly.
Yeah, certainly. All right, let's go to Philip in Detroit. Philip, how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Okay, this is sort of a convoluted problem. I have 2 HP desktop machines,
mm-hmm.
2 gigs, 64-bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm having trouble here.
That's right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry.
We've got
okay.
You so far.
Yeah, there's 3 gigahertz, and there's 2 gigs of RAM, 64-bit. Mm-hmm. So,
what operating system are they running?
Oh, Windows 7.
Windows 7. Okay, gotcha.
Okay. So, the basically the problem is with the one of the machines, it kept looping out. It kept having there was this looping in startup. You know the screen that says the computer shut down improperly?
Right.
And so you have the option to go to safe mode or start Windows normally.
Yep.
Well, it would never come out of that. It would just keep looping in there,
okay,
right?
Okay.
And does it still do that?
I took it to a tech guy. Say again?
Does it still do that?
Okay. Well, that's.
Oh, sorry.
Kind
Go
of
ahead.
What, okay. Okay. So what happened was, took it to a tech guy, mm-hmm. and he did some tests on it, and he said, you know, I think your motherboard is starting to go out. It's somewhat sensitive. So, you know, I tried to get a battery back, and he said he thought it was because of bad power. Okay.
Well, I mean, there's lots of things that would cause that. So we're talking about an existing computer that used to function that now you discovered that it was continuously looping. And Shane will agree with me that usually indicates a hardware failure of some type, right?
Sometimes.
A lot of times hard drive, though.
Hard drive could be, you know, okay. I've seen viruses cause this, too.
Yep,
yeah,
viruses.
But
there's so many things. You know, when he says the motherboard, you know, I'll be honest with you, I've been doing this a long time. I replace very little motherboards.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's more likely a hard drive, isn't it?
It just happens to be the most expensive thing to repair. You know, I don't know.
And you're talking to somebody there, by the way,
yeah.
Phil, who
he does it for
he runs a shop. Yeah. That he's the person that people
okay.
takes the
right.
computers
yeah.
to.
And I had a computer last week that it was doing this exact same thing. I used boot media like Heron's boot CD, ran a check disk on there or a disk scanning utility that actually checked the disk drive for errors, and although it did not find any errors or that it reported, I'll be darned if the computer didn't boot up properly and I could get into Windows. So usually the first thing I check is bad disk drive, bad memory chips.
Here's what happened. Mm-hmm. So you know, I kept trying to mess around with it, got a battery backup and whatever, and so I decided, you know what, I'm just going to switch stuff over to the other machine, with the other identical HP,
okay.
the identical machine, right? So so I pulled the hard drive out, put it in, and then I had some extra memory in the other one, brought that over.
Okay.
And it was fine for, you know, the first day. And then it started doing the same thing.
Okay, and the only variable then in that machine was the hard drive that you had taken out of the old machine and put into the new one.
No, he took the memory, too.
Oh, memory as well.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, well, additional with some additional memory.
Well, that's
and so then I thought, well, maybe there's a memory conflict, and so I took the new memory out and put the, because you know, it was a mix of memory, right?
Right.
So anyway, to make a long story short,
please,
I ended up, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. He's saying,
make a long story short, I ended up going back to the original hard drive to the second machine and the original memory to the second machine.
Yes.
Put it all back together, plugged it up, and lo and behold, it did the same thing. I'm like, what?
Really?
I couldn't figure it out.
Well, there you go. You're back. So, you have the original hard drive, which could possibly be failing, and you have the original memory. One of the chips could be isolated.
Yeah,
but on the second machine. Two different hard drives.
No. Yes, yes.
These are two different hard drives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I put... And we've got different sets of memory. So
I've been
flipping.
All right, let's... Huh? Let's
okay, you got one common...
We're coming near the end of the program.
You have one common factor there.
Okay.
They're both
HPs.
So
the long and the short of it is the machine is working now, and I'll make it real quick.
Okay.
What I was able to turn it on because I had, you know, external drives in metal boxes sitting on top of the box. And so I turned one of them off, and that allowed me to boot up. And I'm not sure if there's a relationship, you say?
Okay,
static electricity, maybe?
Hang on a second, Phil. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take some time to try to answer it here, but I have a feeling that we're going to have to do this offline with an email to us through our contact us. But I want to have the guys comment right now before we get out of the program. Shane?
Sure. If that external hard drive was plugged into your machine, USB, sometimes when you're trying to boot your machine, it'll boot to that external hard drive and cause that error, no matter what hard drive's in it.
Right, and Windows will also scan. At a certain point, when it loads the USB drivers, it's going to scan for the devices on there, even before you get your Windows interface up, and it could crash at that point. So it could, definitely be the external hard drive.
But he's saying that when he...
When he disconnected the hard drives, everything booted up fine.
Yep.
Isn't that what I just said? Are you translating for me?
Turned it off.
So he turned it off.
And it came back on.
And that's one thing that's a very good troubleshooting technique for any problems is remove as many external components as possible and keep it down to the minimum. You know, if you have external hard drives, printers, disconnect them. Something could be something's causing your computer
How
to crash.
How old are these machines, Phil?
14 months. Well, they're refurbed from Micro Center. They're refurbed from the Micro Center.
Okay, I'm running one of the refurbs from Micro Center myself.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we can also, when it restart your computer, keep hitting the F8 key, you'll get your safe mode options. There's one that says last known configuration that worked properly. Just in
Try
case
that.
It was, sometimes it's a corrupt driver.
Right.
You know, but I think it's something to do with that external drive.
Yeah, I think you determined that, too.
Yeah. Good job, by the way.
Okay.
Nice troubleshooting
right.
on your own. By the way, if you have more that you want to say about this, let's do it in an email. Send it to us.
Yeah.
Go to the Internet Advisor site and click on Contact Us. Okay?
But I think you did the right thing because you did isolate. That was the
That was good. As complicated as that sounded, folks, maybe you were as lost as I was. He's doing the troubleshooting kind of thing, which is good. You eliminate possibilities and see what the variables are.
Yeah, but it took a long time to get there. He wanted to describe the story and his troubleshooting technique. Right. But basically, the question is, can an external hard drive cause your computer to crash when you power it up? You know?
And the answer is?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what we ultimately got after 8 minutes.
You also said, Shane, that you've seen viruses that do this kind of thing.
Of course, yeah. And you can run a boot. You can boot to a USB or a thumb drive. Some of the viruses, like Bitdefender, you can run before outside of Windows and actually run a scan and clean up any problems.
So there could have been something on that external hard drive when it was scanned initially.
Yeah.
That may have caused it to keep going back to try to boot from there instead of boot from now, the normal hard drive with the normal OS on
correct.
It.
Correct.
Ed, you like to use the plug-in or the external bootable drives. That could be either a thumb drive or it could be a disk. And if you go to internetadvisor.net and go under Tools, Ed's got a whole bunch of things there to tell you about. The Herins boot CD that you can or DVD that you can create for yourself that kind of sits outside of your computer and can analyze it and can correct a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And there are thumb drive versions of that as well. Shane, thanks for being with us. We want to hear about your exploits next Saturday.
Yeah, don't forget, when you're at the website, you can also donate to the Polar Plunge for
that's
me.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Ed, thanks so much for being here.
It was a great time.
And Gary, thank you for being here. Great time.
3-hour show. Wonderful.
Woo-wee! I want to thank also the guys behind the glass there, Mike Stetz and Eric Dorsch, who have helped us by answering phones and running the engineering. My name is Foster Brown. Sunday night, if you go to internetadvisor.net, you will find a podcast there where you can listen to parts of or all of our program. And please, during the week, visit us on Facebook and follow us there, too. Have a great week.